Okay, so we're recording this lecture. Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Thank you for all for joining. A good Chodesh. It's Chodesh Elul, and we know that Chodesh Elul was given to us as a preparatory time for tshuva, for the Yom HaMoraim. And the mere fact that we're getting together to hear about tshuva, to hear ideas and inspiration for tshuva, is itself a schus for the Yom HaDin. Rabbi Heshi Kleiman, thank you very much for initiating this program and for joining us. Rabbi Heshi Kleiman is the author of many best-selling books, Praying with Fire, Praying with Fire Number 2, Yearning with Fire, many, many books, Kuntresen, many pamphlets that have the impact, a lesson a day, the concept of a lesson a day. And he has one on tshuva as well. We laid them out in the shuls and people have taken them. And this is like a 40-day program that there's a lesson a day, a message a day to inspire us and to help us get ready for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Yemei Adin. I just wanted to thank Rabbi Silver for all the effort he put into this initiative, working together with Rabbi Kleiman, together with the flyer, distributing the flyers and getting the svarim, and really motivating the Olam to participate in this program. So Yasher Koyach for that. And again, thank you to Mrs. Bernhard for all the technical support and all the chizik that she's given us and helping us launch and get the word out for this program. So without further ado, I would like to turn it over to Rabbi Heshi Kleiman. Thank you again for joining us and for inspiring us with these beautiful svar.
I appreciate the kind words. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. As Rabbi Burr just mentioned, it's a tremendous chus, the fact that people are looking to do something, let's call it a little bit extra, if you will. Every little thing that a person does is written in Shemayim, and it should be a schus for everyone participating and for the whole community. There's a story with Rosh Shalom Shwadron. Tells the story of two people walking down the train tracks. And the conductor of an oncoming train notices them. So he begins to sound the shrill whistle from the locomotive. Both men hear the whistle. Now, one person is a simple farmer. He's never before seen a train. He has no idea what the sound is supposed to mean. He continues walking. You know, he's enjoying the view. He's very complacent, and he keeps on going. The other person is a city person. So he understands that there's a warning being sounded by the locomotive, which is oncoming. He better get it out of the way because there's a tremendous danger that's about to impact upon him. Both people physically hear the sound of the locomotive coming, the whistle, but one understands what it means, the other does not. The locomotive, if we use that as a parable, is comparable, similar to the sound of the shofar. Shofar that will hear in the Chodesh of Elul, which is upon us, is comparable to the shrill whistle sound from the locomotive.
I'm listening to the shear.
We all hear the sound of the shear of the locomotive. We all hear the sound of the shofar. Some are like the simple farmer. They have no idea what the sound of the shofar sounds like, what it's supposed to mean. They say to themselves, oh, fascinating. Hey, I remember that from last year. They're blowing shofar. But it has very little meaning. And there are those that hear it and they internalize it. They hear it with their hearts, not just physically with their ears. And they understand the significance of what the sound of the shofar is supposed to mean. So everyone hears the shofar. The question is, what do we do when we hear it? There's so much on the line in the month of Elul and with the Yom HaMoraim that it's the Ezes Hashem will be upon us, literally, in a month. Rav Chatzko Levenstein writes, when we say, Zochreinu l'chayim melechovit b'chayim, b'chosveinu b'seva chayim, l'ma'ancho elokim chayim, write us, Zochreinu, remember us in the book of life. Melech Chofes B'chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to write us in the book of life. V'chosveinu, indeed, do so, write us in that book of life. L'man Choel L'kim Chaim. Rav Chatzko Levenstein explains that that request is not just for life as opposed to life and death. It's for everything that's included in life. Everything which means the panosa, the gezunt, the health, the shalim, the relationships, the situations that we have with parents, with grandparents, with children, with achaverim, with the rabbeim, whatever the situation is, the difficulties in the month of June and August that occur to a person, that is what we are requesting, that a shavila chayim, a shavila tayi. The aches and pains of January and March are included in the request of Zochreinu L'chaim. Everything that happens to a person in life, whether it's the birth of children and grandchildren, whether it's the shidduchim that we're all trying to make, whether it's that slacha that we want, each and every one of us in our own lives, whatever that might be, whether we are learning, whether we are working, whatever it might be, young or old, male or female, it doesn't matter. Zochreinu L'chaim, Melechofet B'chaim, whether it's for Gashmias, whether it's for Ruchnias, it's all the same. Everything is on the line. And similar to the two men who hear the sound walking on the tracks, hopefully we will be able to appreciate and internalize the depth and the significance of what the sound of the shofar represents. But the truth is, perhaps we all hear the sound of the shofar, but in our generation, I don't know if we all can really internalize completely and appreciate the depth of the significance of how important it means to hear, to internalize that we must do something. But you know something? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows who we are. So I want to give you the good news. We are Am HaNibchar, each and every individual is a Tzelem Elohim. And therefore we are Choshev beyond you can imagine. We are all put on this earth to complete the Shleimus of the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's not just for the Shleimus, but it's also for the Shleimus of the individual. And the fact that eventually, hopefully, we'll be able to be dovek with the Shekhinah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands we are in America. He understands we're in Golis. He understands the difficulty. So you know what the Eibishter does? Chazdei Hashem. He puts us into situations that help us to remember we must be true. 20 years ago, on the 23rd of Elul, 5761, the Twin Towers came down in New York City, downtown. I remember it vividly. That morning, it was a Tuesday morning. I needed to be in downtown Manhattan at 10 o'clock. And when I heard about it, I headed back home, and my wife was sitting on the porch, frightened that perhaps I didn't turn the radio on, and I didn't hear what was going on. And I remember we went to get my mother, Alea Shalom, in Borough Park, a couple of miles away. And as we waited in our car for the red light to change, the white soot was flying from 10 miles from downtown Manhattan on the windshield of my car. It looked like it was snowing. And Ramatha Shalom Solomon gave a shmooze. And the Mashgiach said that the whole purpose of the Twin Tower, you know, we look at the physicality of what happens in life, but the emes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything, Hashgacha Pratis, and therefore there is a spiritual message. And the Mashgiach said that in one mind-boggling, numbing hour, the Twin Towers fell, and the message was that we are not in control of our destiny. That was the gist, that was the aside, that was the amkus of the Mashgiach's message. We are not in control. The Mashgiach continued and he said, who knows how long this will continue? And we know that started the new age of, we have have to be aware of terrorism. Going to the airport, I remember there was a time that we didn't have to take our shoes off. Now you have to take your shoes off, your belt off, empty out your pockets. That's the new age. But the truth is, it was a lesson for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. That was 20 years ago. 10 years ago, on the 28th of Av, 5771, Hurricane Irene descended upon New York City. It touched down in Brooklyn. I believe it also touched down in Philadelphia. I have a daughter who lives on Bala Cynwyd on the southwest side of Philadelphia. I remember that she called me. She said, Abba, we're having a hurricane. I said, oh, we're having one here too. We have something in common. And then when they asked Rav Leib Steinman and Eretz Yisrael, what does it mean that we're having a hurricane? So Rav Steinman said that in the time of Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a marvel to the world, and although he promised not to bring a marvel again, but that was the promise not to bring a marvel upon the whole world at once. But Rav Steinman said that Ke'ein Me'ein HaMabel, that is something that is possible. And therefore, Rav Steinman said that he believed that that was the message. That the Lamaise comes to awaken us and to inspire us, especially during these days of Elul, that we are not alone, that we need to do tshuva, and that we have no control over the world. And what about this year? I mentioned 20 years ago, I mentioned 10 years ago, the Mashgiach message from Matasio, it should be well, from 20 years ago, Rav Steinman's message from 10 years ago. And what about our message from what's going on with our world today? You know, these messages from the Mashgiach and Rav Steinman, the truth is, it's a Rambam. The Rambam, I'll read to you an excerpt of the Rambam. It's from the ways of tshuva. Shebizman shetovay tzara. When suffering, when a tragedy, when people are struggling significantly. It comes v'yitzaku aleh. V'yariyu. Yedu akol. Everybody should know, says the Rambam, shebiglal maisim haroim haro lehen. It's because of the maisim that, guess what? We have to improve. Abel im lo yizaku, says the Rambam. If we will not cry out, v'lo yariyu, el yaru, a person will say, dovas evi minika oilam, it happens. Iwalanu, that's the reason why it happened. But tzara zu, nikra, nikris, it's happenstance. It's coincidence, you know. There's global warming, and there's people that hate us. And no, China was, they were negligent. What can I tell you? It happens. You know what the Rambam says? I raise you, Derek Avzorius. Avzorius. The Rambam just doesn't say that's a voice. The Rambam doesn't say that it's shus. The Rambam doesn't say you're talking like a nar, like a child. The Rambam says that is Avzorius. That's evil. The Toysif Avzorius. Avzorius. You hear? The Tzoris will continue. If we do not mend our ways, said the Rambam, it's Avzorius. In the Drushes Haran, when they had the Black Plague, he wrote the same Yesod. When they had the Black Plague, he wrote that this is from the Eibishter. And people should not say that this is Stam Mikre. And the truth is, it's not just the Rambam, it's the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara in Yavama, Samuel Gimel Amad Aleph says, any peronios that happens on the world is because of Klal Yisrael, and that means Shenema. Hechrati goyim noshamu ki noisom echrati chutzoitzom. You know what the Gemara says? That their towers have fallen, their streets. They've destroyed their streets. Think about it. They've destroyed their streets. This past year, the streets were empty. In many, many cities, even now in Eretz Yisrael, you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's very difficult. There are no tourists, there are no American tourists, there are no tourists from around the world. The streets are empty. Says the Gemara in Yavama, Zubziv, Omadi, Achtiri, I see, fear me, Tichi Musa. Take Musa. These things are happening, says the Meiri, that if misfortune rains upon Klal Yisrael, then they need to assume responsibility. If it comes upon other nations, Klal Yisrael has to take it as a warning. COVID has rained upon everyone. I believe one of the Limudim, people say, I can't see the Eivishter, the Kodesh Avodah says it's biblical, when you're diving, I can't see the Eivishter. You know what the Yisrael of COVID is? Something that we cannot see. Something that we cannot comprehend with our senses. Affects everyone in the world, everything in the world. It affected schools and yeshivas and shuls and chasanas and levayas and work and gatherings and stores, panosa, everything, young and old, men and women. Over 4 million people never have lost their lives around the world. By what? Show it to me. Was it an explosion? Was it an army? Was it a where? What? Who? Who is this? I can't see it. Is it shy of something that I cannot see? I can't comprehend. Affects the whole world. Lafiani has died, yes. You know what the lesson is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. I know we can't see him. I understand. Is it shy of something we cannot see? Something we have no idea where, and it controls everything on the Bria. It's to be able to get us to connect with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be seen in the world as well. 20 years ago, the Eibishter sent us the Twin Towers to awaken us. 10 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Hurricane Irene. In the past year, the Eibishter gave us the COVID crisis. But it's not just a pandemic. After that came the tragedy of Meron. And after that came the tragedy in Stolenebuch when the bleachers fell. And after that came the tragedy in Miami. These are all lessons. These are all being brought as the Mashgiach 20 years ago, Rashi Taimin 10 years ago. And with the Rambam and the Gemara many, many, many years ago. Told us. We need to be able to be like the city person walking on the tracks when we hear the shrill sound of the shofar to understand there's danger. There is danger coming. We need to change our ways. We need to be better. The Mashgiach 20 years ago said, if you want to know what the limud is, look in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. V'chein tein pachtecha. We said, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring pachtecha, a pachad of fear upon the people. V'ra'ucha kol ha'masim, let all the works revere you. Yishtachu l'fanecha kol ha'bruim. And we should all be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yosef kulam akoda achas. Together, united as one wholeheartedly, change our ways to become a little bit better. To become more connected with Ruchnius. We ask for fear, v'chein tein pachtecha. Well, guess what? The Mashgiach said 20 years ago, the Eibishter gave us the pachad. The question is, what do we do with it? We are in the similar situation with the pachad. We have the pachad, and the shaila is, what do we do with it? And we all know what the answer is. The answer is tshuva. But you know, when we hear the word tshuva, tshuva sounds like a daunting task. We're mere mortals. We're boss of a dom. How do we do this? Where do we start? How do we begin? Rebbe Shalom, I've done so many things. The list is out the door. How do we begin? How do we start? How do we get ourselves on track? It's almost as if we hear the shayf and we have to stop dead in our tracks on a dime. And, okay, I'm going to be different. So I'd like to share with you some ideas that I believe that Ezra Hashem will be helpful into succeeding in doing tshuva, which will be Ezra Hashem bring upon all of us and in Klal Yisrael a Shana Tova. The first idea, the first suggestion is start doing tshuva with something that you will be able to succeed with. Shlomo HaMelech advises, Samach Barcha B'Yaldusecha, Libcha B'Meibach, U'Yisrael HaMa'olach, Madachei Libcha. Go according to the derech of your heart. Whatever you are connected with, the Netziv in the Hamikdava and the end of Pasha Shalach writes, the first thrust in tshuva should be to be something where you can feel that you will have hatzlacha. If you feel that, guess what? You're learning, you're steiging, but you want to be a little bit better, you want to learn a little bit more. Start with that. If a person feels that, no, that my area is chesed, but I want to be a little bit more, a little bit nicer. I want to smile the next time I see the oni. I want to give a little bit more tzedakah to more people. Start with something that you are close with, that you feel is easier for you to do. Several years ago, I was going with the Mashgiach, Ramat Hashem Salomon. I had the schus to take him where he was speaking over here in Brooklyn from one place to the other. I was very close with the Mashgiach. And I took him from one place and I said, what is the Mashgiach going to talk about? Mashgiach said, my main message is going to be that the Yetzer Hara is going to suggest, now I'm going to do tshuva, I'm going to change everything, I'm going to be a new person, I'm going to learn 18 hours a day without stopping to do anything, I'm not going to look up, anybody walks in the room, from now on, Mashgiach said, that's my sasot, because no one is going to be able to succeed, to change their stripes on a dime, it ain't going to happen. Therefore, said the Mashgiach, my message is going to be start with something that you feel you'll have hatzlacha. And it's not just the Mashgiach, and I mentioned in the Tziv, Rabbi Shaul Salatin or Yisrael Simon, Kezvav, and the Michtam Elio with Chelekei, page 375, tells us the same Yisrael with others as well. Michtam Elio says, strive for something a little bit higher where the person is so we can grow. But don't try to do something that is so high that you won't succeed. Because when somebody does something that they succeed with, you know what? They feel a chizuk, that they're able to go to the next step. Somebody once asked Rav Shach, he says, you know, I'm not learning well. I want to get back into my learning. So Rav Shach asked him, can you do a half hour? He said, no. How about 15 minutes? No. 10 minutes? No, sorry, I can't. Rav Shach told him, no, do 5 minutes. Do 5 minutes, be makabel, and guess what? When you will be good at doing five, then you'll do seven. Because you already have the background of five in your account. And then you'll do seven. You know what? You'll do 10. When I speak about tefillah, I was just this past Shabbos, I was in Camp Aguda, speaking to the boys. And one of the questions was, Kavanah, I want to be able to have Kavanah. I told him, with 250 kids from the 8th and 9th grade, I said, do not try to do every single brach of a Kavanah. It ain't going to happen. Be makabel one bracha. Now, one bracha of a Kavanah. Pick the bracha that speaks to the choyneh. Avad of the first bracha, you have to have halakha, you have to have Kavanah. But in the maybe Yoshiva Shomteinu, maybe Ripoheinu, whatever the bracha, but take that bracha. Or maybe take one of the brachas of the Birkat Hasaka. Hanoyse Layoach Koyach. Ah, every single morning, Baruch Hashem, I have the Koyach, and that speaks to you. Make that your bracha. And when that becomes something that you're familiar with, that you do with ease, then you know what? You'll go to the next bracha. You'll have hatzlacha in that. That is the Yisai from the Mashgiach, from Yisrael Salanta, Mr. Malio, from the Netziv. The story with the young man, he was discouraged by the fact that for many years he had been unable to defeat the Yetzer Hara. One day he read advice in one of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's letters that changed his life. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta would encourage people the same Yisai, to try to overcome the Yetzer Hara, to begin with the easiest thing. and with great confidence he took upon himself, and Baruch Hashem, he grew from that. Rav Ham used to tell people the same Yesai. Start with tshuva in something you feel you have at least a good chance to succeed. Something that's near to you, something that's dear to you, something that you feel a tremendous she'ifa, tshuka, to be able to, that's the thing I want to master. And when you'll be matziach with that, that'll be your springboard to take upon other things. So suggestion number one is start with something that is close to you, something that you feel, again, a little bit higher. You'll feel that you're growing, but something that you will feel will give you chizuk that you have succeeded. Suggestion number two, tshuva is a process. It is not a one-time event. With other mitzvahs, yes, we have to perform it in their entirety. We have to accomplish that particular spiritual function, whatever it might be. Tshuva is different. Because tshuva is really a healing process. Tshuva means to return. We want to return. Atzelem Elokim Anashama wants to get closer to the Eibishter. It's a process. It's a trail. It's a long trip. You can't expect to accomplish everything in one moment. As an infant, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya's mother would bring him in the cradle to the Beis HaMedrash every day so that his ears should hear the words of Torah being learned and should have an effect on him. And eventually became one of the greatest Talmudic sages of his generation. Why did his mother do this? His mother knew that it wasn't the occasional dramatic event that gives hatzlacha to an individual. It's the small thing, v'sagileinu v'sayrasecha, the hergel, to do it constant, over and over and over and over. You know, in sports, there are some players that reach the Hall of Fame, not by it. They played for 23, 25 years, and they accumulated statistics. They make the Hall of Fame. We too, we can make the Eibishter's Hall of Fame by doing it consistently, constantly. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to write, you don't have to get the Eibishter created you to accomplish what you have to accomplish. Be consistent with it. Do it diligently and you will succeed. You know, it reminds me of, I once heard from Yisrael Reisman, when you want to buy a home, what do? You put a deposit. The home is $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. You negotiate, oh, I want to buy the house. And he says, let's see, I got about $109 here. Says to his wife, honey, could you bring the rest of the money? Oh, we don't have the rest of the money. You give a deposit. Because when you give a deposit, you show how serious you are. And the seller knows that. The seller isn't thinking, $150, what happens if they don't come up with the rest of the bucks? No, that's not what the seller's thinking. The seller knows. You're serious. You've given $150, $200. I've done it. I've given $150 and you buy something. It's a deposit. Well, Hashem, you'll do the next step after that. It's the same you say. A person says, I want to do tshuva. I'm starting. Here's my deposit. I got it. I'm giving up of my time, of whatever, my effort, of my focus, of my concentration, of my seichel, of my lay. Rachmana, leave it by you. Eibishter, I've given you my lay. Okay, this is a deposit. You know I'm coming back. I've been to Atlanta. Atlanta is one of the many beautiful communities. I want you to know, Northeast Philadelphia, you are part of a program that this has been done around the world. Many, many communities at different times have done this. We've done this recently. A couple of years ago, we did it in Dallas. Dallas, where's Dallas? How do I get there? I don't know. Dallas, the Eibishter. When Baruch Hashem, they did this in Dallas. They did it in Toronto. They did it in Seattle. They've done it in different places. And Baruch Hashem, I have a schus to play a small part in the hatzlacha that will be with Northeast Philadelphia. Atlanta, Georgia is a beautiful Jewish community. I've been there. They have everything, a Beis Yaakov, a Koilel, a flourishing community, McVoy's, everything. You know, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman started it. He was the rabbi in the late 1950s, and he was there. There wasn't even one minyan of Shabbos observant Jews. And the Yom Kippur, after assuming his post, Rabbi Feldman spoke to the congregants and he told them, I want everyone in this room to keep one thing for 1 year. Can you believe that? And now, Baruch Hashem, that was their deposit. And now, years later, Baruch Hashem, they have a beautiful, thriving community. A man once complained bitterly to Rabbi Chatzko Levenstein. He said he's unable to do tshuva. So Rabbi Chatzko told him, start by being careful what you look at. Just one street at a time. One to one street. The man returned to say he was unable to even do that. Rav Chatzko implored him, be careful at the beginning of the street, and with that you will eventually succeed. We have this mistake, and I didn't know. It's okay. I got involved. Listen. He was a shutif with the parents. The Gemara says, shloish a shutfim. And the Eibishter, the Gemara lists what the husband does, what the wife does. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the abilities that we have. He knows us. All he wants to see, Rachmana Levavai, he wants to see that we want to become a little bit better. You see, incremental progress in tshuva is an important source of motivation for further advances. Once we begin to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even with the very small thing, it will give us the chizuk to continue. And the Mabit Sefer Beis Elikim says, it doesn't matter where we are, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter whether you had a good year, a bad year, Ruchnius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to start. Kol HaScholos is Koshais. You know what Rav Dessler says? We talk about the Geula coming in our days. How could the Geula come in a door, Niskatnu HaDoyos? Says the Mechta Melia. He says, Meiridik, what it took many, many, many times over and much more effort in prior generations, the darker the generation, the less the Eibishter asks and the more we can accomplish. And I'll tell you why. If you're sitting in a very well-lit room and you light a match, you'll never see the match lit. The darker the room, the greater is the illumination from the smallest match. It's true, we're living in a dark room, in a dark generation. But every step that a person takes in tshuva, you know how much we illuminate the darkness of the world that we're living in. It doesn't matter where a person came from or what he's been doing or what she's been doing. If the person says, I want to start, and here's my small match. Rav Dessler says it can accomplish 1,000 more, 1,000 times greater than that which it took the prior generation to accomplish. Kovetz Chaim, when he was selling his Sforim, entered an inn in Vilna. A burly man picked up an entire roasted head and stuffed it into his mouth, washing it down with a gulp of beer. And when the Chofetz Chaim went to this person, he found out that the man had been kidnapped as a child by the Russian army. The Chofetz Chaim walked over to the former soldier, shook his greasy hand and told him, I heard that you actually survived the great army of the Tsar Nikolai, and you remain a steadfast Jew. I only wish I would be guaranteed a place like yours in the world to come. You have withstood harsher tests than the sages of old. The soldier looked up from his plate with tears in his eyes. He leaned over and kissed the hand of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim told him, I'm sure if you would get a teacher, and the teacher would teach you all the things that you did to learn, all the things that a Torah observant Jew needs to know, you will be more fortunate than anyone in this world. All the Abishta wants is for us to start on the road to Tshuva. You know, they just finished the Olympics in Japan. No, I didn't follow it. I couldn't care less. But I will tell you that the pole vaulter, they have this event. You run, no one chasing you, but you run. You take a stick, again, no one chasing you. I don't know what you're doing with the stick. You stick it into the ground, and you try to jump over a pole. What's the aside? If it would be me, I would run straight underneath the pole. I get it in the same place with such celestirka. I don't understand. I never understood it. Listen, if it works for them and they're willing to give a medal, kolakavod, I really couldn't care less. But you know, years ago when they started the Olympics, wherever they started it, I know everything else started in Philadelphia, Mustafa, they started that also. Okay, when they started the Olympics, can you imagine the height of the pole? But of course, the greater the generation, now physically and in terms of sports, so you got to jump higher poles, over higher poles, right? No, but you got medals for jumping over lower poles years ago when they started this. I think it was in Greece before my time. In Ruchnius, Miskatu Adairais. And the Abishta understands. The Abishta understands we are in a dark generation. Someone from England once came to the Chazon Ish and said, I want to start on the road to Tshuva. There's so much to do. What do I do? The Chazon Ish told him, take a look in the Pasuk. Noach was a tzaddik, tamim, hayu b'dayreisov, said the Chazon Ish, the Abishta takes into account the generation, where the person is, who he is, what he's gone through. Every small step in Tshuva is an unbelievable accomplishment. Says the Nefesh HaChayim, a Jew should never think to himself, what difference does my insignificant action make? No, there's no such thing as an insignificant action when it comes to Ruchnius. You see, Ruchnius is Nitzchius. Nitzchius is for eternity. You know how long eternity is? Well, neither do I also don't know. But it's a long, long time. And the small amount of Ruchnius that a person will be able to accomplish will do unbelievable things for his Ruchnius. Next idea in Tshuva. Actions are necessary for success. You know, we can think we want to do Tshuva, we all do Tshuva. I'd love to do Tshuva. Halavai! I would be about Tshuva. But at a certain point, we have to take a positive step to concretize our desire to do Tshuva. The Pasuk says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazoi is asher anuichi v'tzavcha hayoim loinif leisu v'imcha v'loi rechaiku. Ki korav eilecha ha-dava mi'ay. The Tshuva is very close. Korav ha-dava. V'ficha u'v'lovcha la'asoysoi. We need to take concrete action. La'asoysoi means we need to perform it. There are several reasons. Very quickly, this is an olam asiya. Very quickly, when a person concretizes his thought, he creates a total new world for him. Says the Michta Melio, when Klal Yisrael was oil regal, they brought a carbon. It's not enough to have inspiration from something. Because inspiration fades. The shayrish of Ruchnius is Ruach. When it's blowing, you feel it. But you got to do something to be coined, to acquire it. If I want to get something, I pick it up. I make a hagboa. Or I drag it to me. Or I pay money for it. I'm doing a maisa in action to concretize it, to make it mine. I own it. Tshuva, we also have to own it. Gavaldik, the Machshava, and the Sheifa, and the Kavona. But we have to do something to own it. And when a person does that, he will be koina the Tshuva. He will be koina the Aliyah that he has. He'll get closer to the Abishta, which is the whole Yesod of Tshuva. It's to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch. It's to be able to understand that a person can be Dovik with HaKadosh Baruch. You know, the program that you are taking upon yourself 5 minutes a day incorporates all these yisoides. It's 5 minutes. You know why I write everything in 5 minutes? I must admit, and I'm happy to admit it, I'm limited. That's all I can do is five minutes a day. That's the most I can think of, and then it's meaningful. 5 minutes, okay, so I got maybe, hopefully I got inspired to something. Oh, you know what? So now I'll do that. Maybe the next thing I was about to say, and it's not the best thing, I won't say it, or the next bracha. I'll make a bracha, Baruch, Ator, Akari Bracha, you are the bread of the wellspring. Or maybe I'll be better, Benodon L'chaveir, or whatever it might be. Everybody knows the area that that person needs to chew in. But if we take 5 minutes a day, over the time of Ella, which is an Ace Rotzen, Akari Bracha, is closer, he's listening, he's here with us. He wants us to do tshuva, but he wants us to do it. By your taking 5 minutes a day, learn it on your own, learn it with your spouse, learn it with someone in your home, learn it on the phone, learn it with your Rebbe, learn it with your Rav, learn it with the group. 5 minutes, I'm telling you, at the end, as so many have told me, you will feel this Aliyah, you will glide into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Yom HaRayim. And at the end of Ne'ilah, you'll look up, you'll close your eyes, and you'll say, Akadosh Baruch Hu, I did it. You helped me, Eivishta. Thank you for Siyata Deshmaya. I feel so much closer. I'm so much better. And you know what those 5 minutes a day, Hachana for the Yom Maran, will do to enable you to do tshuva? It'll help. The tshuva will not only lochreinu l'chayim elochavet b'chayim v'kosveinu b'seva achayim l'man cho to do the mitzvahs. That's the reason why we have everything. Hakol baro l'chvaydai. You feel closer to the Eibishter. You feel that, I have such a feeling of accomplishment. And the Gemara tells us that the Geula will come when Klal Yisrael does tshuva. You will help yourselves, your family, your loved one, your community. You'll help Klal Yisrael. You'll help the Geula come. You know what a mind-boggling schus that in for your 5 minutes a day, what you are zayich, and not only for the tshuva for yourself, but for everybody else. That's why when the person comes to the minyan, the first ten he has the schus of himself and everybody else. Because when you're there, you're mechazik, you enable the shul, the davar with the minyan. When you do tshuva as a community, you enable others. The chizik, the schus, the skar. The bracha is enormous. I'll leave you with the following beautiful story. During the war years, the Miri yeshiva escaped to Shanghai. It was the only yeshiva to remain intact. The whole world was in flames. And the men in the yeshiva knew that their families at home in Europe were in grave danger. When Yom Kippur came, you can imagine what the mood in the yeshiva and the intensity of the tefillahs was. I'm not making a comparison, but the world is in danger as well now. Shanghai is a very humid place. And on that Yom Kippur, it was so hot. It was so suffocatingly hot that the men, they perspired profusely. They davened in their shirt sleeves, a liberty unheard of in the strict decorum of the Miri Yeshiva in Shanghai. People fainted from the heat and exhaustion, but the tefillahs continued with the undiminished intensity. There was so much at stake. What's going on in the world with all the tragedies going on in Eretz Yisrael, what went on with the Gaza war, with Maron, with Miami, with COVID, with the new Delta variant, whatever it is, I'm not going to get it. That's not this smooth. By the Mizrach Vant, in front of the yeshiva, stood Rav Chatzko Levenstein, the Mashgiach. The Mashgiach was davening with his long kaftan and his talis over his head. The heat and humidity was irrelevant to the Mashgiach. His custom every Yom Kippur He took a very long time with each Shmoneh Esrei, concentrating on every word with all his strength as he bore the weight of the entire Jewish people on his frail shoulders. And so he spent just about the entire day standing, going from one Shmoneh Esrei almost directly into the next. The men in the yeshiva were very moved by the sight of the Heilige Mashgiach standing at the front, their beloved spiritual leader, praying with such intensity, and so oblivious from his own comfort and his surroundings. And they wanted to do something for him, something that meant a lot to him, something that he would be so proud of. So after Meiriv was over, Rav Chassel, of course, was still standing, saying Shmoneh Esrei. Everybody knew that it would be a while before he finished. So they made Abdullah quickly. They took a bite to eat. And they came back to the base of Midrash to learn. When Chatzko finished Shmoneh Esrei, he turned around. And the whole yeshiva was learning Bahasmoda. A few minutes after all the students were in place, Chatzko turned around and saw them. And he smiled with pure delight. With tears in his eyes, he addressed his beloved Talmidim. The Mashgiach said, "My precious Talmidim," he began, "let me tell you something. I felt that the tefillahs of the yeshiva this Yomim Noiron, this Yom Kippur, were higher and purer than those of any other year before. And the tshuva was sincere and complete. It was a very special day, an extraordinary day. But I know that some of you are thinking that the moment of inspiration will pass. Tomorrow won't be Yom Kippur. And we will all slip back to where we were before. And you'll say to yourself, so what did I accomplish? What did I accomplish with all this extra effort? What was the use?" So the Mashiach told him a story. He said, "There was once a man who built himself a beautiful mansion, a real palace that took a long time to build. And he decided to make a celebration. So he climbed up to the top of the tower. He invited all his friends and his family to participate in full view of all of them. He climbs up to the roof to affix the ornament to the top of the mansion. And just then a sudden wind came and blew him down. He was dazed and rolling around in agony. He cried out, 'My mansion has fallen down. It took me so long to build this. My mansion has fallen. All my work was for nothing.' His friends and family rushed over and they reassured him, 'Your mansion hasn't fallen down. You have fallen. Maybe you broke some bones. You might have to go to the hospital. But when you recover, the mansion will still be there. You'll be able to go into it. It hasn't fallen down.' Rav Chatzko, with his voice rising, said to his beloved Talmidim, 'My dear children, we built a mansion this Yom Kippur. Every tefillah that we offered, every little bit of tshuva that we were able to accomplish, is like a different room in the mansion. Can you imagine Northeast Philadelphia? How many rooms you're going to have in your mansion?' Mashgiach told him, 'If tomorrow you feel you lost the inspiration, you should know it's like that person who climbed up to the top. He may have fallen, but the mansion is still there.'" This was the story of Rav Chatzko to the Talmidim in Shanghai. Ramatisho Solomon told over this story of Chatzko's words of encouragement to the students in the heat of the world war are an important lesson to all of us, said the Mashgiach. When we start Elul to do tshuva, the thought can sometimes be so intimidating. We'll lose heart and then we'll say, maybe we'll do it, but afterward, we'll go back. Said the Mashgiach, don't think that your efforts are for nothing. Don't think that if you slipped afterwards that everything is lost. It's nishtazoy. The mansion, the nitzchias, and I will add what you have down here as well. Because the momentum, the to put it into terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmana Liba Boy, the Siyata Dishmaya that you will always have. Yes, there'll be Aliyahs and there will be your readers. And it's written in the Svarim, there will be Yemei Abba and Yemei Sino. It's there for a purpose, that's for a different shmooze. But you should know that what you are doing is so remarkable. If we combine all the different sources that I mentioned, the Mechtam Elio and the Netziv, all the different Maramakoyimis, what you are accomplishing, I can go on for an hour, but I was only given up to 45 minutes. What you are accomplishing is so enormous. The mansion that you're building is so remarkable. For a dark generation that we live in, in such a frightening time that we live in, to pick up the mantle of the community, of Klal Yisrael, to create chizuk, like Rabbi Shlomo Salanter used to always say, a mitzvah that one Jew does in one place is felt in other places. Believe me, the chizuk in tshuva that you are doing for yourself, the 5 minutes a day, will be felt. Other people in other places will all of a sudden say, you know something, I have to do something a little bit extra. You should be zeicher that the tshuva that you're doing and the desire, the she'ifa to grow, the Eirusha should give you the koyach and the hatzlocha to bring schusim and to bring a Yeshua and the geula for yourselves, for your loved one, for your community, for the heads of your community, your rabbeim, the rabbonim, the head of the kollel, and the other chashuva places. It should be a schus for Klal Yisrael to not only get rid of the tzara that we are all facing in the world, but as I mentioned before, in the schus of tshuva, the geula comes. You should be zeicher. I can see Mashiach will come. His first stop will be Philadelphia. The Rosh Yeshiva, you should be gezunt, will be there. All the people in Philadelphia, Northeast Philly, where my daughter is, in that part of Philly, all of the other communities in Klal Yisrael, Dallas, and all the other places around the world that have accepted upon themselves to do 5 minutes a day, it should be zeicher. If you can, spread it around, give other people an opportunity to jump on this bandwagon that's rolling downhill. You know, downhill in one version can be something negative. But downhill can be that you have the siyata d'shmaya. It depends. You can be like the two people on the railroad tracks. One person hears the whistle and he knows what to do. The other person doesn't. You should have the schus to take the sound of the shofar to be matzliach and the tshuva that you're doing together with the Rosh Kollel and the other choshuva, younger light from the kollel, to bring geula and Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. Have a good gebench yor. And by Ezra's Hashem, we should all be zeicher to tshuva and to the geul of Bakar b'yameinu. If anyone has any question that you would like, you can ask.